Again, it's good to be back with you. We had some incredible time in Slovakia working with our teams there and these last couple weeks, and we'll share more of that as we dive in to today. But I want to engage you in these next couple weeks on a topic really dear to my heart, because it speaks much about the character of God. And what I hope today, you'll just be in awe of the character of God. And one of the most significant things about the character of God is that he wants to converge on your life and mine. When I take a look at a passage like in Acts chapter 2, verse 43, I believe it'll be on the screen, Acts chapter 2, verse 43, it says this, "And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles." Now, as we look at that passage, we'll leave it on the screen. The first word that kind of pops out for me is that word awe, okay? Awe came upon everyone. In fact, I'm working on a series I'm excited to be about in October that we're going to dive into what it means to live a life of awe. It will be really, really, really neat. But, you know, not to have a life of awe is a pretty sad thing when you think about it. Because when you find yourself in awe of something, it means that your soul still finds things miraculous. It means that your soul still finds fascination in the things that you look around. It means that your soul still is in wonder, and it's seeking things beyond what you can explain and understand. To lose all awe in your life kind of means that, man, your soul and your heart has gotten hardened. You're not open to, man, there's amazing moves of God. Now, the first thing that typically comes for me and what gives me awe and has throughout my life is nature. I love to be outdoors. I love outdoor things and hiking and camping and all that. So when I look around at a field of flowers and mountain valleys or whatever, and you see all the different colors of those flowers and all the different textures and the designs, and I go, man, is God creative or what? I stand in awe of him. It's giving, like you mentioned earlier, giving glory, pointing out, this is miraculous. You know, I don't go to Home Depot or Lowe's and buy flowers if God hadn't already created them and some human beings eventually tame them and put them in pots for me to plant out and let them die. I mean, that's how it works in my household. So, you know, I'm in awe of that. When you go to places like the Grand Canyon and you look around at the erosion that's happened over millions of years, and you can see all the rock stratas focused out, and you go, man, did God not create some incredible stuff? When you look at what's going on in Hawaii and the uplift of the mountains and the islands and think, man, all of these were at the bottom of the sea at one time, amen? And people are living on there and having a great time. And I go, wow, God is still forming. They're still rising up. I'm in awe of what God has done and continues to do. And he did it all without Craig Bollinger. And you too, Dan, you didn't have anything to do with it. You know, that. And I'm in awe that he does that without me. But the longer that I have stood on this stage and taught you the scriptures, I have found a different awe. And that's the awe of the convergence of God on human lives. That has become more fascinating to me than anything that God has done unilaterally without us. And here's the miracle of God's character. Why? Because we aren't necessarily that easy to get along with. I won't ask you to raise your hand if you're in that category. I'll just raise mine. You know, we all have strong wills. And God, you know, God has made us with these talents and abilities, and we get sidelined and we go our way and our thing. And God gave us his wonderful free will to love him or reject him or join him or step away. And I think about God's constant process of saying, come on, Craig, come on, come on, come on, Heidi, I got a plan for you. And we're going, I got my plan. And I'm thinking how difficult it must be for God to converge on humankind. When we're going, I got it, God. But when it happens, it's amazing to what he does. In this passage it says, awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done. Finish it. That's convergence, isn't it? God converged on normal people the apostles, they're just like us. When they worked hard and sweated, they what? Stunk. And they had to take a shower. Just like us. Their feet hurt when they walked a long way, just like us. Their hair grew if they had any, and they had to get haircuts. They're just like us. They weren't superhuman people. But God converged on them, and wonders and signs were done, and they were in awe. Look what God is doing, my friends here today. That's what God wants to do in every one of your lives. That gives me awe of the character of God. That he would care that much to be in your life and in my life. We've been supporting many places around the world. One of them we spent some time with here, where Meryl and I went back for a little bit more engagement of training with the Andrews family in Slovakia. And for those who aren't familiar with them, they're a family that were part of Christ the King, went through missional training, moved to Slovakia, have been working on developing a house church in that community, and I'll share more about that community. Before I go any further, Nadia, their youngest, has a message for you, and I recorded it so you could see it today. Here it is. Take it away.
Hi, CTK. This is my cousin, Kowalka, and my name is Nadia Andrews, and thank you for all the good things what you did, and I'm in Slovakia.
All right, that's the cute factor for the day. She's an amazing young lady, an amazing evangelist, and, you know, when we flew into Slovakia, we had to come into Vienna, and Jamie would meet us, and Linka would meet us at the airport. 3 hours away, so for them it'd be a 6-hour round trip to come pick us up to head into Puko and to share in that area. You know, that obviously ice cream's going to be involved if I'm involved. So that was one of the things we did. So anyway, we come in there, and Jamie does not speak Slovak, and in Vienna they speak German, so he doesn't speak German either. So seldom do I ever see Jamie driving around 3 hours in a country by which he can't speak the languages, and understands a little Slovak, but not very much. And so he shows up at the airport, and it's just him. I'm like, where's Linka? And he says, well, we were all packing up to come pick you guys up in Vienna, and Nadia was playing on a foam roller, fell down and broke her arm as they were getting in the car. So Linka takes Nadia to the hospital, and the rest of the time we see her, she's got her arm bandaged up around her, just still smiling everywhere she goes, but she's a one-arm bandit the rest of the time that we see her. So I'm thinking, man, this is going to be an interesting training time for the next 10 days. You know, is God moving in the midst of this or not? So we're driving from Vienna all the way to Puko, and we're 5 minutes outside of Puko, and show me the picture of the rainbow. That shows up. Puko is right at the end of that rainbow. I'm already going, okay, we got one kid coming out of the hospital. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know what a rainbow means in the Bible. It means the promise of God is on this place. And he's going to do something. And I was in awe because I didn't do that. God did it. And God spoke into our heart saying, I'm going to make some moves. Just watch me. I'm going to converge on this community. Just watch what we're going to do. Even a broken arm and all the things that go on in life will not stop the movement of God as we go forward. So we continue to go forward. And show the picture of Jamie and Linka again for some that don't know them. This is who they are. This is in their living room and sharing together. They were part of CTK and still are. So we're training. We're living life with them just in the same way we live life together here. For 10 days, we helped them in their work. We traveled with them. We went to the grocery store with them. We helped mow the grass. We helped paint. Whatever we need to do, we're just organically living life as we're training and teaching. What does it mean to live life in the world? Now, the convergence of God is this. This is a very difficult to do ministry. They show up, and when we do house church here in the States, and we'll have community group sign-ups coming up in a couple weeks, and people come up, and our community groups get full. We encourage all of you to be a part of community groups. And they open up their home for community groups in Slovakia, and guess how many came? Zero. Slovakia, if you're under 70, you've never been to church. The church is literally dead. And in Slovakia, a country of 5 million people has been occupied by practically everybody, as one of our interpreters shared with us, said, you know, Slovakians have a good system of going with the winners. Whoever was winning a war, they joined that side. So they were on the Germans for a while, and then when the Soviets came in and took over the Germans, they joined the Soviets, and guess what happened? They became communist-occupied in a communist system for a lot of years. So if you go into Slovakia and you go into Vienna, Austria, much different, because one's 30 years behind. That's the climate of the country. In that country, it's really difficult to do mission. So we're wondering, we've been there several times, but it's been 2 years since we've been back over in face-to-face training, although we're talking monthly in the time together. But this is what we saw. God had been moving radically over the last 2 years. We saw the Andrew family's spiritual authority rise in that community to such an extent that there was this inner circle of folks that we're training and teaching. And then there was another ring of folks that were engaging in their lives spiritually. And then there was an even further ring when they would put something out on Facebook. People would just show up that they'd never heard before because they had heard of Jamie and Linka being spiritual leaders in this town. Isn't that incredible? How does that happen? That's what we want to talk about today. How does that happen? How do you and me become a part of what God wants to do, this convergence and move of God in your life, by which all of a sudden the community around you sees something about your life and begins to be drawn to the heart of Jesus Christ because you're standing there in the midst of it. Another cool thing happened, talking about convergence. This group right here, the tall fella in the back with the big smile and mustache, that's Pastor Yancey. He's a pastor in the town of Zelina, and this basically is his core inner group. We were there with them in the Sunday afternoon after preaching in Zelina, having conversation with them. His father started a church in Zelina. That church has been going for 20 years, and guess how many people they worship? Around 75. Now, in America, if you were doing a church for 20 years and you had 75 people, you'd probably be a little discouraged. You're like, well, nobody's going to come. But it is just hard ground to plow. And Yancey is planting house churches. 4 years ago, Yancey and his father and his family and his group had been praying to plant a house church in Puco 4 years ago. You know when we first visited Puco? 4 years ago. 4 years, God had been preparing the ground. 4 years, God had been converging. We did not even know any of these people. Only Pastor Yancey did I meet 2 years ago, and none of those folks even existed in the ministry. But over that period of 4 years, the Andrew family, being obedient to God, listening to the will of God, establishing a presence of the Spirit of God, allowing the convergence of God to work and move them, had now created such an infrastructure of community, informally and formally, that now was the time to plant. And we met and we talked about that plant and that emergence. That's convergence. That's what we're talking about. That is the character and nature of God. You see, when we think about the word convergent, this is what we're talking about. It's to literally move toward a point or to another person. It's this kind of direction that God wants to do and have in our lives. It means to come together in united and common interest and common focus. When we as a congregation move together as one, that's a convergence. When God is moving into the midst of us as a body toward a common purpose and a mission in our community, that's convergent. When he's moving into your life and you're following him in his will, that is convergent. It's been that way since creation. Are we listening and opening to it? Look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, it's in your notes as well. 43:1 opens up this. The prophet Isaiah kind of lays out what God's plan is. It goes like this. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. Okay, a lot of fear can come in when God takes control of our lives. I have redeemed you. I have called you. You are mine. Three things that Isaiah lays out. Redemption means that God has taken away out of your life and mine any separation that would keep us from Him. It means that whatever we've done, whatever excuses we have, whatever we say, God can't work in and through me, He has redeemed it so that the convergence of God on your life and my life can happen. Then nothing stands in the way. On top of that, He says, I know you by name, which means there's nothing that He doesn't know about you. He knows every talent, every ability, every position, every place, everything about you. That's why He's converging. And then He says, you are mine. You belong to me. I put you on the potter wheel. I formed you. I created you. I shaped all your intricate parts. You belong to me. And that's really important because who we belong to defines you. If you belong to a gang, it defines you, doesn't it? It defines how you act, how you live, how you respond. That's why it's so important for us to grab and understand that what the prophet Isaiah is saying in his passage is who you belong to matters. Who has named you matters. And who has redeemed you matters. That's the first step for every one of us today. Do we want to live? Are we going to receive this presence of where God has called us to be and has already set us forth? And this is for the whole world. This is the prophet particularly speaking about the kingdom of Israel in the Old Testament, but it's a prophetic look forward in what Jesus Christ would do on the cross when He would redeem us, close the gap, and unite with us in convergence. This is what we talk about at Christmas when we say Emmanuel, God with us. God's coming. So He converges with us on creation. The second is He converges on us in His name. When we are praying and living out in the name of Jesus, that's what our 21 days of prayer are about. Take a look at this passage in John chapter 14. In fact, I'd encourage you this week, as I put in your study notes, to really dive in deeply to understand this convergent God wants in your life. In verse 12, it says this. Jesus is speaking. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Wow, sounds like a free pass, doesn't it? A couple things I want you to circle in your Bibles or in your notes. Circle greater works, circle in my name, greater works in my name. That's where He's talking about convergence. Really important the disciples are learning this, and important for us to learn it too. We don't want to be outside of this move of God. That's where the miraculous and the awe is. So what I want to talk about is how do we get into this move of God? You see, it's not a matter of whether God wants to. God desires. That's how we are created. The only question is, will our free will is going to block us? So here they are. Every one of us in this room can do works. We're all doing works. We all get up every day and we do stuff. But none of us can ever do greater works without Jesus. So the only question is, am I going to go through my life doing works, or do I want to go through life doing greater works? What does it mean to be greater work? Greater works means that there's things that take you into awe. You realize this is way beyond you, your ability. Because God has entered into the midst of that. This isn't something that's finite that's going to end today or tomorrow. That's my works or your works. This is stuff that's going to last to eternity. It's greater works. That's one. Number two, in your name. Every one of us are inclined, because of our human nature and our own selfishness, to do stuff in our name. We grow up, make a name for yourself. Be known for who you are, what you do, what you collect, what you look like, what you drive. It's a name for ourselves. We're wired that way. That's what God is pushing against in conversion. He's got to battle our own name in order to get His name into us. I'm just simply amazed He wants to do it and not give up. That's the character of God. What He's saying is, when you do something in my name, It's now not your work. It's a greater work because you're doing it me. What does it mean to do something in someone's name? It means to do what they would do if they're not here. The commission of the church is the collective gathering of the body of Christ. Together we are the church, individually we're the church, because we're living out in His name. If we're not living out in the kingdom agenda of the name of God, then we're really not the church. That's what He's clarifying here with the disciples. So how important it is for us to be in to take a step back and say, well, how do we do it in His name? To be in His name is to do His kingdom agenda. How do we know what His kingdom agenda is? It's to seek Him and to pray. That's why the 21 days of prayer is to invest deeply in hearing God. It says, if you pray in my name, anything that you ask, I will give to you. Where we want to be is so aligned to the name of Jesus Christ and His kingdom agenda that He converges into your life and mine in this church in a radical way, and then we are in awe of God. Now, as I mentioned to you a minute ago, we're not doing this alone. Let me share with you a picture of Pastor Eric in Burundi, Africa. Here he is on the right. Eric is sharing here, and he was my translator. We were there teaching in a kind of makeshift seminary when we were there about 4 years ago as well. God's been doing amazing stuff. Now, here's a congregation of people gathered together. These people weren't even gathered 4 years ago. Isn't that amazing? Just because of obedience to the will of God. He sends me notes when I'm in Slovakia, and it was kind of nice because we were 6 hours closer than we are from here. So we were almost on the same time zone when we were engaging back and forth on WhatsApp. And he said, hey, we're in the midst of 21 days of prayer. And I said, oops, I forgot to tell you, we're starting on the 12th this year instead of the 5th. He's already a week ahead of us. So the good thing is, he said, what do you want prayer for? So he's been praying for us for an entire week before we've even started praying for him. So he joined me praying for them. And this is their group praying. Show a little bit. He sent me a video. He says, we're in our 21 days of prayer. Here we go. Take a look. I think some evil spirits are leaving that place. I mean, they're walking around the room and they're praying out, they're crying out to God and they're longing for Him, and they're just aligning, listening to the will of God, wanting God to converge on that community in a radical way. I think this Wednesday we have our first gathering together, and I'm going to send him a video of what we're doing. You think we can copy this? Y'all ready? You know, it's not going to work if only three of you show up. I said, well, our 21 day, would you pray for us? Because we only got three people praying, okay? So trust me, I'm going to send him a video, so you better show up. It is what's happening in America. You know, Burundi, you know, let's tie it together. So that'll be fun. It's Wednesday night, 7 p.m. But all week, we want to be praying together. Aligning to what God has called us to be and to do in the midst of the community. We want to be about His kingdom agenda. And there's two big, broad strokes of His kingdom agenda that I want you to be aware of that as we pray. Number one is this, the gathering and freedom of His people. The gathering and freedom of His people. In Isaiah 43, if we continue in that section we were looking at, it says this, I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west. I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who's called on my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made, connecting all people to the life-giving message of Jesus. See, the primary kingdom agenda of God is gathering in the freedom of His people. This Old Testament prophet Isaiah is speaking primarily in that context of the scattered called people of God, which was the nation of Israel in that time, the Hebrew people. But it converges onto the prophecy in Matthew 28 where Jesus would say, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. We are in that place. So the key focus of our kingdom agenda, to pray in Jesus' name, means that we want to be praying for the salvation of the nations, that God's people that are scattered to the north and to the south and to the east and to the west will be coming together and God will converge. The miracle of that convergence is God might indeed use you and me, as you spoke about earlier, to actually speak life into someone who goes, whoa, you mean I belong to God? Yes, you do. That's what we've been about in Slovakia all last couple weeks. It's what you've been about right here in Charlotte and Lake Wylie and Clover and Fort Mill for the last 2 weeks. It's why we exist as a church. It's why the church is the church. It's the kingdom agenda. As we pray deeply, we want the convergence of God to come on our lives, that we walk out of here going, I want to be about your name. And you will see miracles, I promise you. You will see God come into lives in miraculous ways. And you'll go back and the awe won't be on just the creation of God. It'll be on the move of God in your life. Amen. The second one is this. New life in dead places. God cares about your life and my life. I heard on the worship stage this morning as God was converging in with these worship leaders, leading us to the throne of grace. And what I heard is, you know, sometimes life gets tough and we struggle. Look at Isaiah 43, going a little bit further down in that same passage where the prophet's speaking. It says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? It will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beast will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my chosen people. The people, listen to this again, the people whom I formed for myself, that they may declare my praise. One of the biggest barriers there are for us as human beings is we want to live in the past. God wants to heal your dead, broken places. When we speak about a mission, we want to experience God, the awe of God, and we want to find freedom, is being able to say, remember not the former things. Remember I redeemed you. Remember not the things that are holding you back. Remember not the things and the tapes that are playing that are saying, how could God possibly use my life? How could he possibly engage in me in what he wants to do now? How could he actually do a miracle? How could I be like the apostles where God is doing miracles and awe through the wonders and signs a part of my life? We get a block there. But what Isaiah is saying, remember not those things. I am making a new path. Let me look every one of you in the eye. Today is a new path. Whatever you came in here with, whatever guilt or shame, whatever thought process you had that says, I'm just an average guy, just an average woman. How could God know? Forget that. Today, God is speaking to you to say, I'm going to do a new thing. I want to converge in your life. That's my character. Because I redeemed you and I called you by name and you belong to me. Watch what I will do. So two things we want to pay attention to as we pray. The reaching of God's people and bringing life into the dead places in which people find themselves. Now how is that going to happen? As I mentioned, what I saw in Jamie and Linka and in this crew and Eric and others and in you is that there's a submission to the will of God. The very first thing is we want to do it according to his will. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, the very first thing he says is pray this, your kingdom come, your will be done. We want to align to the will of God. So when you're praying through this time of fasting and prayer, say, God, what is your will? What is your kingdom? Let me see your kingdom and your will. I want to walk in your way in a radical way. Now, if we're going to walk in the kingdom agenda of God, it means some submission. We got to give in. And this isn't giving in to someone who's going to destroy us. It's giving in to the miraculous, the awe in our lives. So we walk according to his will and through our submission to his will. So pray in these 21 days, God, what do you want to show me? What do you want to offer me? Often when God is speaking in my life and God is showing Marilyn or me things that he wants us to do, I start out with offering myself here. Okay, God, I'll give you this. And God begins to work and move in my life in that process, and it begins to be here, and then here, and then here, and then here, and all of a sudden my hands are out like this. Now I'm submissive, and I'm beginning to say, okay, God, you got this. You're going to move, and it takes some time. Why? Because there's a battle of the wills. There's always a battle of the wills. Whenever we're engaging people with the things God wants us to do, it's very true. When I meet people one-on-one or whatever the case, they start right here. It's always, and then God begins to move and the door begins to open, because that's the convergence of God. You want God to do miracles in your life. It's not going to happen here. It's going to happen here. That's why God gives us the third gift. And that is the movement of his spirit with his power. Watch in John 14:16, Jesus says this. He says, and I will ask the Father, when you're praying in his name, it's coming off that, when you're praying in his name, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you. That's convergence. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's when it finally comes. So what's happening in my life, in an illustration of me, when God is speaking to God and he's saying, Craig, I want you to do this. I want you to give this. I want you to live in this way. I want you to act in this way. I want you to reach out beyond where you are. I'm going like this. And then I'm beginning to submit to his will. I'm saying, okay, I'm hearing your will. I'm beginning to submit to his way. The Spirit comes into me and it begins to pry open my heart, begins to pry open my way, begins to pry open my finances, begins to pry open my direction, begins to pry open my life. And all of a sudden, I find myself wide open to the miraculous of God. But that might take some months. It might take some time in you too. But then we're in a place by which we'll see the wonders and signs of God. Is it because of my ability? No, it's because the Holy Spirit converged on my life and made it possible for God to do the miraculous. That's what he's doing through the Andrews, is what he's doing through Yancey, is what he's doing through Pastor Eric, and is what he's seen doing in the lives of people in this church. And believe me, as a whole body, when he does it collectively through prayer, there's nothing in this community that won't radically be changed that's not of God. There's nothing that God will call us to be as a church to import change in the lives of people that cannot be done because it's in his name and for his kingdom. So what's our move? Trust God and go. So when you come out of these 21 days of prayer, trust him and go. And I understand it's not easy, because at the beginning of this passage, there was already a conflict, and that conflict was with Philip. Look at the scripture. It says in verse 8, Philip said to Jesus, Lord, show us the Father. It will be enough for us. In fact, show me more proof, Lord, and I will submit to your will. Anybody been there? Yeah. Show me the end result, God, and I'll follow you. Let me know I'm going to be okay, God, if I offer myself. Let me see the big picture. Show me the end game. And therefore, we don't move because we're still searching for God to show up in some way that we want. And this is what he says. Jesus said to him, have I been with you all this time and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Good question. The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his work. That's perfect convergence. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And listen to this. Or else, believe on the account of the works themselves. What's he saying? If you can't get the big picture, at least move forward in the small picture. If you can't grasp the full understanding, just go with me and watch the wonders and miracles begin to emerge. Maybe God will reveal the whole piece. But to stand back and go, not going with you, leaves us out of the convergence. It leaves us out of the wonders and signs. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 43. He actually opens up in this. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, who formed you, O Israel, he who formed you, O CTK, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as a ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, people in exchange for your life. I'm amazed at this character of God, who would assure us with that level of assurance, you're not going to get it all, but if you could let me converge into your life, you will see wonders and signs. This is a prophecy, but in the New Testament, it's Jesus Christ on the cross. I love you so much, I will give my own son to forgive you all that separates us, that there'll be no gap between you and me, that as I go away, the Holy Spirit will work in your life and mine as you submit to my will and allow the convergence of the Spirit, you will see greater things. Promise you in my name. 21 days. 21 prayers deep in the heart of God. My prayer is this, that you individually and this church have an amazing convergence. That as we continue conversations about how God's going to move through this congregation in the next 5 or 10 years, that we see a move so radical in this community, because of the convergence, that the world will see Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Father, here we are. We struggle in the place of our own will, in the place of our own desire to make a name for ourselves, that we often have trouble stepping back and allowing you to take over. But I pray today, Father, that you will move passionately through these people. That your Holy Spirit has primed hearts ready to see you and experience you and the passion to follow you. Because you will do amazing works, greater works. Because we say, God, use this human flesh, this mind, these talents, this being, this resource. But Father, most of all, I pray that there's anyone in this room that has not asked you to be the Lord of their life, that hasn't said first, God, I want to follow you. I want you to redeem me. I'm asking you, Father, to forgive my sins, that today this will be the day for a fresh start with you. That we will walk in your way and in your will in such a way that we see your miraculous glory. I thank you for your presence, and I thank you for your pursuit and your character is beyond even our own. We love you, Lord Jesus. We anticipate your work. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. God loves you, CDK. So do I. Good to be with you.